We have been speaking about what we titled as How to Enter Enduring Success. Most importantly, we took our text from Psalm 118. We read that the Bible says that there are different gates in life. And I explained that the gates refer to the methods by which you get into whatever it is that you are aspiring for in life. That desire is not the problem, but the method by which we get into the fulfillment of our desires. That's what God is most concerned about. So he said in Psalm 118, he said, there are the gates of righteousness, which he said is the gate of God. And he said that is the one the righteous man, the righteous person enters through. That is, whatever you want to enter into, there is a method by which you enter into that. That means, therefore, that the opposites of those ones are the gates of unrighteousness. And those are the ways of the world. Those are the things that people use most of the time in life. We have already established that. Then I talked about what I call your seed and your faith. My own version of the miracle of seed faith. I explained extensively that what God looks out for is a sign of your faith. That is, if you claim to have faith in something, there is something you do physically speaking that what James says is a perfection of the thing that we cannot see. That in your heart there is faith. But God said there must be a demonstration first of that faith before God can begin to do something for you in life in that regard. And our example we took from Psalm 126, in which the prayer of the returning captives was, restore our captivity, O God, as streams renew the desert. And God now answered and said, first, you have to sow in tears, then you will reap with joy. I emphasize this, and let me say it again. And that's the fact that the most popular way people interpret that, and I'm not saying it is wrong, is accurate to a large extent, is that you must give out of your difficulty. Do you understand my point? You must give sacrificially. And when we are referring to that, we are referring to giving to charity, giving to the work of God. Most of the time it's preached as giving to the work of God, as sowing in tears. Now, that is right. I'm not saying it's not right. But that's just an application. What that was actually saying literally is that if you believe in a business, you will sow, you will invest out of your difficult times into it. Do you understand my point? That is, if you say that this thing is good, you don't just go around saying that it is good, it will work. Yet, you have the ability to do something about it, and you are not tapping into it. What that means, really, is that you don't really believe it. If you did, I mean, nobody would tell you that this is progress, this is prosperity, and you will not key into it if you knew how to. Are you getting my point? So that's what we called what? Sowing in tears. That is a seed of your faith. That seed, there's a seed principle in life. I'm not going to go over all of this because I'm just trying to bring out the things we've said in previous times. There's a seed principle in life. Anything great that God wants to do, he must start it small. Our example we now use was that issue of the, in fact, we titled the following message then, the power of the widow's seed, of the widow's mites. That is when Jesus said, you see this widow, she has given more than all the other people. What he was saying was literal. It wasn't just talking figuratively speaking. Yes, we know that the widow gave proportionally more than everybody else. But what Jesus was saying is that there is a spirit that this woman poured into that thing. That is, if she had more, get the point, she would have been like David. When David was going to give towards the building of the temple of God, he gave every single thing he had. What I want you to understand is that he was not trying to get anything from God. He was giving towards what he totally believed in. Are you following my point? Listen to me. If your heart is not in what you are doing, you are wasting time, you are wasting money. That's what I'm explaining again. If your heart is not in it, you are wasting time, you are wasting money. You cannot bribe God by your giving. Let me not go into that actually. Let me say what I'm trying to say. So what happened was that David totally believed in the temple. That was why he gave all that he had towards it. Do you follow my point? Now that is not only, it's not to be used only in religious work alone. and the work of the ministry. That is to be used. In fact, as a Christian, you should understand that every part of your life is a ministry. Do you follow the point I'm making? On Mondays, we have been discussing what I explained about the Lamb of God pouring forth your soul as an offering for sin. That God said, if you did that, what you will find is power and authority and dominion in different areas. And when you have received that power, authority, and dominion, you will now use that to uphold certain things by the word of your power. Do you understand the point I'm making here? That is, if we went into education, you began to invest into education, God is saying that it is a ministry. I will give you a power. I will give you a wisdom. I will give you a tongue that none of your adversaries, like Jesus would say, will be able to resist. That is, if you go into that, you will speak in that regard. I don't know whether you get my point. Is that your enterprise will not be better than other people's own because you worked harder, but because you spoke the right words towards it. Are you following the point I'm making? But before you have the power to speak those words, you will have done like the widow did. You will have shown to God the certainty of your conviction. Are you getting my point? That really, I believe that this thing is what it is supposed to be. It will work. Do you get my point? You know, today Brown was in my house, and so many things led to discussions. And he said that, well, them not going to the whole gist, but some people were judging the disadvantages in their lives by the amount of money somebody else was making, earning as income. And I told him that it's a matter of pride. I said, what do I mean by matter of pride? Look at it. These guys are assessing that they are better educated than these people, right? They are assessing that they deserve more pay than them. And for that reason, what they are getting is too small. I said, listen to me. This is how life is counted. You don't judge your life by how much you are earning. You judge your life by whether you are doing what you are supposed to do. Do you understand what I'm going to say? It's not how much money you are earning. It's, am I doing what I am supposed to do at this particular point in time? If I am doing it, David said, as the servant's eyes look to the hand of the master, so our eyes are upon you, O God. Therefore, I have learned. You know, God dealt with me in that regard in the last few weeks, and I'm so happy. If I was sharing with my, I discussed with my wife a few days ago, I said, I really thank God for how he brought me out of that rut. Because the Bible says that things that you have learned can easily slip away from you. You don't realize they have gone. And what I had known in that area was slipping away from me. What am I trying to talk about? That is, you begin to depend on what you are earning physically for what you are going to get in life. I said, no. He said, when you need things, you come to me in prayer. The fact that you appear to be rich does not mean you should not go to God in prayer. What now happened, how I realized what was happening was that I was now desiring things that were beyond the amount of cash I had. Are you following the point I'm trying to make? Then it suddenly came to my mind that I'm beginning to live life within the restrictions of my physical abilities. I have forgotten that when I need things, I am supposed to go to God in prayer. I hope what I'm saying is making sense to you. That is, this is how it works. Your eyes look to God. Not that these people walking there, they are better paying. That's not the issue. I said, no matter how much they pay you, you do not teach the way of success. I do. Do you get my point? So it's not a matter of money. Do you follow the point I'm making? It's not a matter of how much one man is earning and the other fellow is not. The issue is this. Am I doing what I'm supposed to do? A man can say that, listen, I work in America. I earn $500,000 per annum. I told you then, let us go there. I will ask him a simple question. Do you teach the way of success? You don't. I do. I'm not judging my life by how much you are earning or how much I'm earning. I'm judging my life by what I am doing. Do you follow the point I'm making? Come on, I get testimonies every time about what the word of God that I preach is doing in people's lives. It gives me satisfaction. If you like, pay somebody far junior to me. Are you getting my point? That you know that is my brother, an engineer. Let us assume that he now goes tomorrow and they give him a job in V-Mobile. By the time he's worked there for 1 or 2 years, they will be paying him twice what I'm earning. You know what? If he sees me tomorrow and he does not bow to greet me, I'll give him a knock. You know why? I'm his elder brother. I still remember when I would put him on my head. If you like, pay him $1 million a month. That story can never be changed. He has not become my elder brother because of that. Are you following the point I'm making? I will not now say, you are paying my brother more than me, and I will stop teaching the way of success. I won't. I will not. Because my life is not assessed by what I have, what I earn. People get themselves unnecessarily discouraged and they go into unnecessary competition in life. Listen to me, a lot of people who started physically after you will overtake you. There is nothing evil in it. I'm not competing with anybody. I have my own race. That's what people have to understand. You know, if you just are learning to drive, one thing you have to first teach yourself, if you have not learned it yet, is that the other driver is not thinking about you. You know, then you are going on the road, and then one driver will give you a flashy, flashy, like, come on for road, come on for road. Then horn, horn, horn. Then the guy will go beside you, and you feel like it's a God-given assignment to overtake him, especially when you look at his car. The guy is driving a Toyota Corolla, and here you are driving a 300E. What insult! It happened to me too. That's what I'm telling you. It's what I have experienced. Then one day I had to tell myself, listen, my friend, the guy is not thinking about you. He's not trying to show you that his car is faster than your own. He's just going his way and you are in the way. Are you following my point? And in case he was thinking about, he wanted to show you that his car is faster than yours. If it's faster, it's faster. If it is not, it is not. I mean, overtaking him has not changed the fact. It's only a man who is not sure of himself. He is the one that wants to show to other people that he's better than them. Are you getting my point? My assignment in life is my own. I don't know why I'm talking so strongly along this line this evening. My assignment in life is what? Is mine. So what I am checking, listen to this, is whether I am doing my assignment or I am not. I'm not checking how much money somebody else is making. It doesn't concern me. The major problem with people is this competitive spirit. I preach a message for those who have not listened to it. Please go and get it. God is not slow. To me, it's one of the best, most important messages I've preached. I mean, maybe among the top 10. God is not slow. Because it's important you learn the timing of God. God only appears slow when you are using the wrong clock to judge him. Do you get my point? When you are using the wrong clock to judge God, he appears slow. You not start telling Moses, look at you, as old as you are. At your age, you know what Joseph had done? Joseph at 30, he had become prime minister. You are 80 here, you are tending sheep. 80 years old, you are still tending sheep. I mean, one thing you will not realize is that there's one testimony that God never spoke about Joseph. That this guy is my personal friend, talking about Moses. That I have not seen any man. Are you getting my point? When God was going to warn Aaron and Miriam about challenging Moses, you know what he said? He said, when I talk to prophets, I use dreams and visions. When I have to talk to Moses, I call him into my sitting room and we sit down and we chat. I talk to him, he said, mouth to mouth. You know what mouth to mouth means? It's like I'm talking, Moses will say, excuse me, I don't understand. Can you go by it again? They will be chatting. Do you get my point? He said, you are not even afraid. You now rise up in front of such a man and you start challenging him. That was the testimony of God about Moses. The fact that Joseph made prime minister at the age of 30 is his personal issue. Do you follow my point? That is, a man's life is different from that of another. And you cannot judge the speed of God by one man's life when you are looking at another person's own. Do you understand the point I'm making? All right, let's get back to the main things we are saying. So we have discussed those things. And then last week I now began to speak about... Okay, before then I explained that there are a number of stages that the blessing and the enduring success of God goes through. I said, number one, there is prayer. Number two, there is a seed. Number three, there is prophecy. And then number four, there is what? Rest. I said rest. I will still try and go over this. And maybe if we'll get there one of these days. I've been trying to get there actually, but things have just not been, you know, coming out that way. Rest means that you have done what you are supposed to do. And you are now supposed to just live life as occasion serves you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? That is, when God had put everything in place, he rested from his works and is teaching his children that's what I want you to do also. Go, put everything in place that I have commanded you to do and then you to rest from your works. And the things he said you should put into place, number one, whatever you want to do in life, you must start with a prayer. Commit your ways unto the Lord. Are you getting my point? And then he will direct your path. Trust in him with all your heart. You are getting the principle. He said, when you have done that, you now sow that seed. Remember that I'm not talking about what we say, normal seed. Now, you now look for an offering basket and drop money inside. Please, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that is wrong. But I'm saying you have to show a material commitment to the thing you are praying about. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, if you say that, okay, I want to start an office somewhere, go and buy a desk. Do you understand my point? It might be all the money you have. Wake up in the morning. Like what Bishop Oedipo used to say those days, when they started ministry, when there was nobody, yet in the morning he would get up, dress up properly, you know, wear a tie, wear a suit, and go to an office and sit down. Are you following my point? Now, when you've done such things, then you, of course, you begin to prophesy. There's a reason why I'm talking about that, because what God does, what God did at creation was to speak a word. Do you follow my point? Actually, that prophecy comes out of your heart after you have said the proper prayers to God. It's like a release that God gives you, a word that drops into your tongue from the Spirit of God. Are you getting my point? Then you begin to speak it over whatever you are doing. Because after that, there's nothing more you can do. He said, Paul planted, Apollos watered, then God gave the increase. There is nothing more you can do. Let me just let you understand this. Somebody will tell you that, you know the reason why you made a mistake? You didn't do this. I say, why? Because that was what this man who started this one did. That's what this man did. Listen to me. If you have done all those things, if you failed, you still have failed. I don't know whether you are getting my point. In your life, the success or failure that comes is not a result of whether you woke up at 5 or you woke up at 10. Are you getting my point? All right, that's what we're talking about, rest. Now, I made all those points. Now, this was what I said last week, which I said I want to review extensively. All these ones I have said, I've been saying now, are things that we said in previous times. What I want to say now, the things we said last week, for the records, I'm going to do this a bit in more details, almost like preaching the whole message, but in a very summarized fashion. Mainly because we do not have a record of what we spoke last week for certain reasons. It will help us to connect what I want to do teach today. Also, what I was going to teach today anyway is still a continuation. So this will just help us as a link. Are you following my point? Now, these are the things we began to speak about last week, and I want to just go over them again. Our text scripture was from where now? Matthew chapter 4, which was referring to Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm going to be a bit quick. In which he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God shall a man live. Now, please, and I will just go over the points, all right? We won't read the scriptures, except it's very important, so that we can be quite brief about it. What I tried to explain from there was that when we say a man is living, let me say this again. We have discussed in previous times about what it means to acquire life. Living is to be. To acquire life, to have the ability to yield forth fruits, to have the ability to succeed in all that you are doing. That's what I mean by living. So he said that the just shall acquire life by faith. It's different from walking by faith. The man becomes just because he's walking by faith. But when he has walked by faith, everything that he's doing, the Bible says, in all that he does, he prospers. That is, he has acquired life. So Jesus said, the man does not live by bread alone. The way we've interpreted a lot of times is to say that beyond bread, there are things you must add to life to live. But that was not what Jesus was saying. Now, it is true that there's something beyond bread. But what Jesus was saying really is that there is a divine order. Are you getting my point? When there is no bread, for men to still have all the things that bread would have given them just by hearing and heeding the word of God. Do you understand the point? Let me explain again. That is, in fact, this is a very good way to explain it. Daniel, we read that one from Daniel chapter 1. If you read from verses 8 to 13, you will see Daniel went into Babylon. Before then, he proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself by the things happening in Babylon. We know that story, don't we? Now, a time came, they gave them food apportioned by the king. All right? But they said these were defiled materials. We don't want to eat them. The man said, you want them to kill me. Daniel said, test us. This is a point. Test us, giving us only vegetable and water. And see whether our nutritional state will not be better than the nutritional state of those who are eating all the balanced diets you are giving them. And at the end of the day, it was found to be true. That is, Daniel and his brothers were living not by bread alone, but by the word of God. Do you follow my point? That is, what God has spoken to them was in their flesh, becoming everything that they needed. Let me explain this again. The angel went to Mary. He said, you will bear a son. Mary said, how can it be seeing that I do not have the bread that is necessary for conception. Now, you are getting what I mean by bread now. It's a sin that I know no man. That is, the knowing of a man is the bread that conception normally lives by. So the angel said, you don't understand. That man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. So he said, this word I have given you is enough to make you conceive. Do you understand my point? He said that no word of God shall be void of power. That's the meaning of the word, with God nothing shall be impossible. He said no word of God is devoid of power. That once God says something, in that thing that he has said, is all the equipment necessary to make it come to pass. So when Mary said, I know no man, he said, you don't understand. Do you know the word? Yes, that's the man inside. The bread are the physical things that we normally use, but the utterance from the mouth of God is that makes those things unnecessary. Do you get the point I'm making? Now, I was explaining something, and let me say that again. Because when we're talking about enduring success, the word is what? Enduring. The word is enduring. We said that you must lay a proper foundation. Don't ever forget that. And the foundation that makes success enduring is that you have the right thing inside your heart, inside your spirit. Do you follow the point I'm making? So we're talking about building your life on the word of God. What Jesus was now saying to Satan, therefore, was Satan looked at him and said, you have not eaten for 40 days. Jesus said, you don't understand. If a man doesn't eat for 40 days, but there is bread from heaven at such times, he's not really hungry. Are you getting the point I'm making? Satan thought that this guy has been hungry for 40 days. Jesus said, no, I wasn't hungry for 40 days. This is the first day that I have not eaten. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because the Bible says it was afterwards he became hungry. I'm explaining something here, that the key to enduring success in life is to be built up on the word of God. What does that mean? That is guarantee for success in whatever you do in life is to be built up on the word of God. It's not by struggles. Do you understand my point? Now, it's important I bring to our minds again what we mean by bread in this context. Man shall not live by physical bread alone. What do we mean by bread? The degrees that a man has, that is, the qualification he has acquired, the connections that he has. Are you getting the point? The wisdom of men that he has learned from all the books that he has read. 55 keys to effective business success. You can read all of them. Are you getting my point? But don't ever forget that thing I said. They were written after a man who never read them succeeded. I hope you know that. Do you get my point? They are analysis of the life of a man who did not read the same book. And when a man has succeeded in life, they will write new stories about his own life. You get the point. Better one in mind. Now, I'm not saying those things are not good, but they are bread, physical bread, that is possible to succeed without them. It's so important we get that one in mind so that a man will not say, you know, there are things I hear all the time. People will say, if I had known then what I know now, I wouldn't be here. I always laugh. I don't say such things anymore. There are a number of reasons. If you're talking about material knowledge, there's no guarantee. That's not what brings forth success in life. Forget. Then number two, if it's spiritual knowledge, you could not have known it. That there are two ways by which you learn things in life. One is by simple hearing. Two is by the drilling of experience. Are you getting my point? In which Jesus will say, there are many things I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. He said, but when the Holy Ghost comes, it's not as if the Holy Ghost is a better teacher, but between now and when he will come, you will have gone through certain experiences that will make it clear. I'll never forget, one day I was watching the finals of, a beauty pageant. One Indian girl won Miss World. That was some years ago. They asked her, which day of your life, if you had the ability to go by it again, will you not want to happen? Something like that. The young girl stood and thought. She said, every day I have passed through in life contributed to what I am today. I don't think I want to change any one of them. I said, this girl will win. That wisdom, as far as I'm concerned, was what gave her the crown. The girl just stood. This was an impromptu question. She just thought and thought and thought. And well, whatever I am today is a summary of everything that I have passed through. So let it be. You are getting what I'm saying? That is why it is not wise to say, if I had known what I know then. Now, but the point I'm bringing out here is this. It's not that material knowledge that makes for success. People will say, if I had known, people told me to invest in stocks 20 years ago, I didn't. Listen to me, if you had, it's your own that wouldn't grow. Do you understand what I'm saying? That this chance is not the key. You know what I mean by chance like that? That you just mistakenly do something. It is something foundational that now makes chance occurrences appear like the key. Remember what we said in the previous times? That luck is a colloquial expression for the real word, blessed. That a man that is blessed becomes lucky. Do you follow my point? That is, they say success is about being in the right place at the right time. We know, even physics has told us, that it is not possible to know the right place ahead of the right time. It's called quantum theory. For those of you who know physics, that you cannot know the velocity of a particle and its position at the same time. Am I wrong? Is that not quantum theory? It is only described in hindsight. So we said to succeed in life, and I have to read this to summarize that. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now verse 10. It said, now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. He said, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and have become convinced of. A point to note there, that before you reach the point of full persuasion, you go through a period of learning. He said, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings or the Holy Scriptures, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It said, the reason is because, verse 16, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Please notice a few points here. Paul was explaining to Timothy that this is the way life is. Anything you will get in life, we say, is a matter of faith. And the Bible talked about Abraham, that there was a time he reached the point of full persuasion. And let me explain something to you. Let me take a detour and explain this in the, properly. Why did it take God 25 years before he allowed Isaac to come from the womb of Sarah? Listen, God does not waste time. The one who taught us to redeem the time cannot be the one wasting it. That is, if it was appropriate to release Isaac on year one, he would have done it. But you have to get this point. Isaac was a special child. Isaac was not about Isaac. Isaac was about Abraham. Isaac was a sign. Now, I wrote an article long ago on that word, Isaac. Isaac was a sign of the faith of Abraham, by through whom God was going to bring Jesus Christ to this earth. Of a truth, Abraham is the father of faith. God will say, look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, your mother. He said, when he was one, I called him, or I called him alone. That is the only person apart from Jesus Christ that God ever said, look to. Are you getting the point I'm making? So for Abraham, Isaac was not about having a child. Isaac was a sign of the expression of faith in God and the unchangeability of God's purpose. Let me explain what I'm trying to say. The moment Isaac was born, Abraham could die in peace, knowing that indeed his generations will inherit that land. Are you getting my point? The moment Isaac was born, it was a sign to Abraham that God could never fail. That was why, now listen to this, that was why he was willing to sacrifice Isaac, because of the experience he had had in the birth of Isaac. Get me? Sometimes we look at the faith of Abraham and say, wow, this man really, really had faith. That is very, very true. But let me tell you what was special about Abraham. It was not his faith at the end alone. Now, let me say, that is very special. But what really marked him out, because what God tries to do is to develop your faith. God works on you personally as your father. It is his responsibility to develop your faith. What was special about Abraham was that he allowed God to develop his faith. Let me explain what I'm trying to say. Because the faith of Abraham that we look at today and we bow was the product of God's dealing, was not just a heart attitude in the heart of Abraham. Listen, he said, it is God that is at work within you, both to will and to do. The problem is that God, people do not let God work. Do you understand my point? That is, God said, Abraham, I am taking you on a journey. When we are through, your faith will become the standard for all to look up to until Jesus Christ comes down. So Abraham said, no problem, let us start. First, we'll call you at the age of 75. I keep on saying this, for every story of success you read in spiritual matters, there were many failures. I don't believe, God never even tried to impress us that Abraham was the first to be called. But he only tells the stories of successes and occasionally chips in stories of failures so that we will take warning. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Please listen to what I'm talking about, the faith of Abraham. The faith of Abraham that sacrificed Isaac was the product of God's doing, God's working, God's training, God's dealings in his life. The problem with people is that they are not patient enough for God to work in them. God called him at 75. Now, there were reasons why God chose him and called him. What I mean, that God said, let me call this one. But we know that many are called. All right? Then God began to deal with him through many things. Now, at the beginning, he told him, I will bless you, walk before me and be perfect. So God said, let me train you in that process of perfection. You are following the point? So they kept on going. One day, of course, you know the story of Ishmael. Finally, Isaac was born. Listen to what I'm saying. The moment Isaac was born, listen, this woman was how old? Sarah, 90. How old was Abraham? 100. Before that, Abraham, there's no record that God had ever raised anybody from the dead. Never. Are you following the point I'm making? Yet, when God says sacrifice Isaac, I told you the faith of Abraham was what God worked into him through his dealings with him over 25 years. God knew where they were going. He took time to train Abraham in faith. And when when God was ready, that is, he looked and said, Abraham is ready. It was his decision. He now said, I told you that the righteousness of God must always be demonstrated. Everybody will see that this is what's going on. God now said, let me show all of you. You don't understand my point. Let me show all of you that I have trained this man enough. He said, okay, let us see. Oh, yeah, call him. Abraham, sacrifice for me, Isaac. He said, that is the same Isaac that the promise is about. He said, just watch. I have trained him enough. Sacrifice Isaac. People think that he meditated and thought. The man thought about it for a second and said, Isaac, God, you must be up to something again. Bible says that, go and read Hebrews chapter 11. That he considered that God was able to raise him up from the dead. So he turned to the mother, we want to go and sacrifice, we will be back. He wasn't trying. People say that you have to be wise. You know, if you had told Sarah, there would have been a problem in the house. You see, he was convinced of what he was saying. What he told Sarah was what he meant. We are going, we are coming back. And the guy, look, the way I see it now, Abraham took his hand up, say, let us kill this boy so we can go home on time. You don't understand my point. We will kill him, and then me and the lad will go back home. Because he had learned something. In Isaac will your seed be. Are you getting the point I'm making? He had learned that thing, that in Isaac will your seed be. Listen to what I'm saying. Isaac was not about Isaac. Isaac was about Abraham. Do you follow my point? Listen, there are things God will do in your life. I know what I'm saying. I believe it absolutely. By the time he's through, it's to give you a reference point so that you will know that he is with you and he does never fail. So that when circumstances will come tomorrow and try to change your faith, you will remember one day that, no, that was the day scripture became alive to me. You are not getting the point I'm making here. Listen, before Satan can make you backslide, like we say, he has to first make you forget that experience. That is why most great men, that were healing evangelists, go and check where they started from. They were about to die. So if you're not telling that God doesn't heal, that's your personal issue. I was about to die, and he raised me up. What are you going to say? Because, in fact, Maurice Cerullo says something, that you need an experience in life. To walk with God, you need what? An experience. That is very simple to say, everybody just go out, lay hands on the sick, and they will get healed. He says, it's easy to see. He said, but what is what God does? One day he will give you an experience that after that, when you see the sick, you'll be pursuing after them. That is, come here, come and get healed. Are you following my point? In fact, you know, last week I was rushing somewhere. I went to see a man of God, and my wife and I had a long chat with him in the evening. Now, there were stories he told us that he said he came to understand that the things that happened to him when he was a young Christian, the kind of divine manifestations that were in his life. Are you following my point? That is, let me use the word, there were times he virtually called fire out of heaven. Do you understand my point? No, as a young student on campus, so not the one big fire band preacher. He said by the time he entered into ministry, all those things just went to sleep. That he used to wonder, like, God, what's going on? Then he came to understand that God gave that to him as a sign that I really called you. So that when trying times came, he never forgot those experiences. For a few years, he was ministering with power. Are you following the point I'm making here? So that when experiences, trials, and challenges came in ministry afterwards, it was so easy to believe the word of God. He knew he was called. Do you get the point I'm making? Isaac was about Abraham. It's so important we understand this. Now, let me go into in what I'm saying. That is, there is a process of learning. That's what I'm saying. And full persuasion that what happened was that God took Abraham through a lot of experiences to bring him to the point of full persuasion so that Abraham could collect the blessings of God for the whole of mankind. Let me explain that again. Your faith is being strengthened every day. God is taking you through trials, challenges. When you make mistakes, God knows that. See that boy, he will do that stupid thing. Just watch him. He's a Gabriel, see that guy. You know, he's a very foolish boy. But we have to demonstrate his foolishness to him so that he might come back with prayer and say, God, help my foolishness. So right now, he thinks he's very wise. Can't you see when his mates are talking? He's always the one to start. He wants to talk everybody down. He thinks he's very wise. Watch him. Just watch him. Then the man will start. Maybe we carry money. Say, just watch. You guys don't know how to invest. Just watch. That he will borrow money, invest. Everything will collapse. So he will not have mouth to talk again. Are you getting my point? God now said, can I teach you a few principles? Say, yes, sir. Then when a child is talking, he wants to learn. And that was what God wanted to get him to in life. Anyway, I'm explaining something here, that we go through trials, we go through challenges. The problem is a lot of times we don't learn the proper lessons. One of the worst things you can do for yourself, I have come to believe that, is to start blaming everybody else for your troubles. Are you getting my point? People always have stories. It was my father. If it's not my father, it is my mother. Okay, no, it is not my parents. Yeah, my friends. No. Of course, you know our most popular excuse? The economy. It is the economy. When you finish that one, you know that time, if I had just known when we were in school, this is what I should have done. Why didn't I study physics? So my life would have been better. Is that blaming everybody? Why are they not paying me well? Once you go on like that in life, you will never do well. Pastor Kwadwo preached a very powerful message in that regard. He said, he was quoting somebody, if you can settle down and accept responsibility for what even other people do to you, then you're on your path to progress. That they don't say, all the staff we employed, they stole our money. He said, tell yourself, why am I so foolish in employing thieves? No, there are two ways to look at it. Because why are you not the way? Our Megad, he was the one that organized armed robbers, took our car. Our clerk, that clerk, he took 1.5 million from this office. Then when they finish, he said, so your life is wrecked. Why? Because of bad staff. He said, then you must have a problem with employing people. You may have to learn that, listen, oh boy, it's from my village, it's no guarantee of loyalty. Do you understand my point? It might be your first lesson to learn. Never hire whosoever you cannot fire. Rule number one in hiring. So if it's your wife's brother and you think your wife will not allow you to fire him, don't hire him in the first place. If it is the son of the man who helped you go to school, then call your friend and get him a better job. Don't put him in your office. Because when he errs, his father will not let you sack him. So never hire whosoever you cannot fire. That is, you can look at it and say, it is because my parents are like this, because school is like this, because business is like this, that is why I am like this. He said, no. Why is it that two of us went through the same water? I got wet, my friend did not get wet. Don't say, why does this water wet people? Ask yourself, did you not know it was raining? Your friend brought rain boots. You came with your Giorgio Armani leather, you know, crocodile skin shoes. You are now blaming the rain. You know, let me tell you something about driving. I told you, I think I had this experience. It was radio. It was radio we're teaching for. One day, very good illustration for this thing that I'm saying. One day, my wife came home. What happened to your bumper? I was driving presidential. This woman was driving. She just entered. So I checked this. Well, it sounded to me like she was right. No, this is not just a matter of fact that it's my wife. No, that one, I don't think that's the issue. In fact, she called me on the phone. I said, is your car badly damaged? He said, no, just a little bit. Me, I don't have time to. I said, enter the car and drive away. So she did that, left that. Then one day, I think I went to Benin. He came and told me a story. She took one little car, I think her father's car, and took it out. But I came, can you imagine? This is Okada driver. He just broke this mirror. These are Okada, they are really, really crazy people. I said, it's true. I didn't say anything. Before that one, there was another one in which the front of that BMW was just, they were just squad. You know what I mean by squad? Wow, the thing was gone. It was one guy, one local government out. So when that last one happened in Benin with the Okada man, I said, this is enough. Wife, come. Sit down. No, you're a very good woman. Yes. You're my wife. I love you with all my heart. Amen. Amen. Have you noticed something? I drive more than you on this road. That woman in Volvo, her types are plenty. And I never run into them. These Okada men, they're all around me too. They have not broken my mirror. As for you and the local government out, they're also where I pass every day. How come they never wreck the front of the car that I drive? I said, listen, wife. There are two things about driving. One, driving well, one. And number two, avoiding bad drivers. Are you getting my point? Drive well, don't injure people. Then you have to learn how not to be injured. I said, that second one, I think you have to learn it. Do you know, since then till now, I cannot remember any story like that. Because she said, thank you. That is, yes, all the people were at fault, but she agreed to accept the responsibility for their bashing her. Why am I telling this whole story? That a man learns to do what? Accept responsibility for his life. I don't know why I'm staying here. We are talking about what? Learning and becoming convinced of. That was not what I wanted to say, but I don't know why I'm just stuck here. Well, let's continue going. So every experience in your life, God is using it to bring you to a position of perfection. Let me use that word. Because God spoke to Abraham, he said, walk before me and be what? Perfect. If you go around thinking that people don't like me, you ask yourself a question. Why is it that people don't like me? Are you following what I'm saying? I like one thing, was it Oprah Winfrey that said it? How did you make it? Being a black, not just black, woman, a black woman. In not only a male-dominated society, but a white-dominated society in which the blacks claim they are marginalized. He said, if you do your job better than everybody else, they will recognize you like they are supposed to.